Well, if you sat up the other night and watched the NRL Grand Final like me, you probably thought that that might be the end of your sport for the night, but not the case. As soon as you know that Ryan Fox is anywhere around the top of the leaderboard and the golf is beaming in from the in the early hours of the morning from the UK, you just have to stay focused. And fortunately, I did, and I managed to watch Ryan Fox, in my opinion, have his greatest victory ever in his career at just the age of 35. It's been so fantastic to this point, but it was a wonderful win. Not without its drama. Golf is like that. But he's on the line now from the UK, and we're so grateful that he's going to give us some of his time this morning, our time. Ryan, congratulations. I think perhaps your greatest win. You've had 24 hours to think about it. Is that how you view it?
Yeah, thanks, Smith. Yeah, I would definitely agree with you there. I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot bigger than winning a tournament at St Andrews. Obviously, the Open might be slightly bigger, but yeah, regardless, Dunhill Links is such an iconic event, and yeah, to be the champion there this year is pretty amazing, to be honest.
Well, I'm a great believer that there's fate in life and there's fate in sport as well. You've won this in front of your parents, your wife, of course, your daughter as well. I mean, they live so far away. You've got this great affiliation with this tournament, which you had with Shane Warne as well. He passed away, as we all know, not that long ago. And I just think there's a sense of something different about this for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the first time my wife and little one have seen me win on this tour. You know, they travel a lot, but they missed the other two. So that's pretty cool to have them there. Mum and Dad travelled up from New Zealand and saw 2 weeks of non-golf or missed cut, and then you know, obviously this. So that was pretty special to have them there. And then, you know, obviously Warnie, you know, he was my partner for this event, I think, the last 4, maybe 5 years. And, you know, to not have him there this year was very sad. You know, we had a lot of fun at this event, and, you know, to be able to call someone like that a mate was pretty special. Someone I idolised growing up, bowling a little bit of leg spin, and yeah, my last memory of him was at this tournament last year. You know, we finished second in the team event, and he was absolutely buzzing, and as Warnie was at this event, very, very hungover on Sunday. But that was just him, and you know, I would have loved to have been able to share the experience of leading and coming down the stretch and winning the tournament with him this year. You know, he, being the competitor that he was, he absolutely loved that environment, and yeah, there was definitely some sadness there this year. But as you said, probably a little bit of fate there as well. You know, I felt like he was there with me, and I had a little bit of luck, especially on Sunday. And you know, maybe he was down. He was looking down on it with a vodka Red Bull and maybe kicking a couple of balls the right direction for me.
He would have been watching. I would venture to say, Ryan, that you woke up yesterday morning or this morning your time in better shape than you perhaps would have been if you were celebrating with Shane Warne.
Yes. I don't think I would have actually woken up if Warnie was there. I think I just would have stayed awake knowing yeah. him. But it was very quiet last night, to be honest. Yeah, it was just, had a couple of drinks, had a very cool experience at one of the pubs in St. Andrews, Grey Friars. And obviously there's a lot of golf history in the whole town, and you know, that's a pub that's, you know, very much into its golf, and I got to pour a pint and got a standing ovation from the whole pub while we were there for dinner. So that was very cool. But yeah, it was definitely a lot different than the celebration for earlier in the year at Ras Al Khaimah, but you know, still a good one nonetheless.
Right, let's look at some of the things that happened on that last round. You started the day 4 shots behind leader Richard Mansell, but I think on the second or third hole he double bogeyed, and all of a sudden you're very close to the top of the leaderboard. What were you thinking standing on the first?
To be honest, I wasn't thinking about much. You know, around St Andrews, there's always a score out there. You just got to get away with a few shots. You know, it's a funny golf course to play. It's not. You can make a lot of birdies around there, but you're also playing away from making a big mistake because there's so much room. If you hit one in one of the bunkers or you hit one out of bounds, which can be easy enough to do depending on the wind direction, you feel like a bit of a muppet. So Why you want to be aggressive, you don't want to make a big mistake. So it's a little bit of that, but knowing you have to shoot a low score, and I kind of had nothing to lose yesterday, to be honest. You know, Richard being four in front, it's I know what that feeling's like. It's an uncomfortable position, but you know it's in your hands, and I had to do something pretty special, and or he had to help me out, and he sort of did the latter. He looked a bit uncomfortable all day, and you know I was lucky enough to sort of be able to take advantage of that.
Look, I know Ryan Fox, the golfer, is not a big fan of slow play. In fact, one of the commentators said yesterday you're probably one of the quickest players on the DP Tour, perhaps if not in world golf. So yesterday you play in this format, of course, where you have just not the three professionals, but you have amateur partners as well. Not necessarily all have partners at that stage of the tournament. Some have been knocked out as such, but in terms of the general flow of the game, it's not your cup of tea in that respect, unless you're playing with a character like a guy like Shane Warne. Yesterday at crucial stages, it was slow. You can see it was just getting to you a wee bit.
Yeah, it definitely got me a little bit through the middle of the round. I felt like we were a bit behind early, which I actually don't mind because I never feel under pressure if you've got to catch up. And early on, I was in great rhythm, and then we kind of wasted a long time on the eighth tee, and I just sort of lost focus a little bit and had a couple of average shots. But thankfully the putter saved me a little bit through there. I made a nice birdie on nine, and then sort of got it back a little bit again. 10, 11, 12, hit some great shots there, and then we got quite behind on 12 with Richard sort of having a drop in there and hitting a couple of shots off the tee, and I just sort of, again, lost my rhythm a little bit coming down the back nine. And, as I said before, it's kind of a golf course. You're playing to not make a big mistake. And with a lead, there's some places to make a big mistake on that back nine. You can hit it out of bounds on 14, 16, 17 and 18 easy enough. I mean, Alex Noren tried really hard on 18 to do that in regulation. And I tried pretty hard on 16 to do it as well. So it's, I sort of play to not make mistakes coming down those last few holes with the lead, which is probably not the right thing to do, but it's kind of really hard not to on a golf course like that when you know you've got the world left and you just can't hit it right.
On 17, which of course is the road hole with the famous bunker, you pulled it left. So you're looking at the leaderboard. I would imagine you knew exactly where you were. Your mindset going into that, and then of course you hit probably a disappointing chip, I think, to say the least, of with your third. What's going through your mind at this point with the crowd so close to you there?
Yeah, I mean, 17's a really uncomfortable tee shot. I don't know if TV gives a good perspective on it, but you've got to hit it so close to the hotel, and again, the penalty for missing it's really bad, and I knew where I stood. I knew I had a decent. I think I was three shots on that lead on that tee, and I think Callum Shinquin birdied at 18 to make it a two-shot lead. So, it's basically just don't make a big mistake. And luckily in the Dunnell Links, left's okay. There's not a lot of rough left. Generally, they make it a bit nicer for the Emmys that week. And so I'm standing there, just get it left, get it somewhere up there, the front of the green, and then at worst case make five. And through two shots, I've done a pretty good job of that. And then I just made a silly decision. I sort of was in between wanting to chip it, wanting to putt it, and didn't commit to the chip shot I hit and hit a bad one. And then all of a sudden, I've got 75 feet or whatever it is for par. And I made a really nice two putt there. But all going through my head, it's just at least make a bogey here, and you've got a one shot lead going down 18. And thankfully 18 is not the most difficult hole in the world. You just, again, not trying to hit it right, and thankfully Alex didn't hole a 65 footer across the green on 18. Like, it looked very good for a long time from standing side on, and thankfully I had the luck on my side this time, and it was a bit of relief to know I had a sort of 20 foot two putt to win the tournament. But it was a pretty nervy last few holes, and I was very, very relieved at the end to have got the job done.
It was a quite an interesting last 20 minutes, because those that have followed you will know in a couple of tournaments, Russell Knox and Victor Perez have knocked down putts from around the other side of the world to stop you. And all of a sudden, Norrin stands up there, hits it out of bounds, it bounces back, and he's got an eagle putt to perhaps tie you. I mean, freakish. I just wondered, did you have a wee recollection there, or were you too focused on what you had to do?
To be honest, I didn't. I wasn't even thinking about it that much. I was trying to think about what I was trying to do, which is probably a good thing. And it didn't. It almost didn't click in my head that if Norrin had held that putt, he would have tied me. And then when it was rolling up short, I was going, "Oh no, here we go again." It kind of clicked sort of halfway along that putt when it looked good, and I was, thankfully it couldn't happen again. I mean, I don't know how many footage of putts people have held against me in playoffs, but it's a loss. And this time the luck was on my side in that regard, and it was nice to just roll my one up pretty close and make it a pretty easy tap in for the win.
Okay. Well, just before we finish on what happened, what a cool photo on the Swilken Bridge. What a cool, I mean, not many people in the world have a family photo like that to stick on the mantelpiece.
No, that's a pretty good one for the pool room, that, to be fair. And it was cool to share the whole experience with the family. And that's certainly one we'll all remember for a very long time.
Can I just ask you, we all know Grant Fox, the rugby player, we know him the selector, we know him the rugby analyst as such. What about the golf watcher and his reaction at the end of it? I saw the very quick embrace as you went to go and sign your card, etc. But tell us about his reaction.
To be honest, it all becomes a blur for me after I hold that last putt. I was so focused on what I was trying to do, and then the brain just completely switched off, to be honest. So that the hour after winning just is a blur. But I know Dad's not a good watcher. I know that. He's always someone that likes control, and being a spectator means no control. I think he can be a little bit difficult to walk around with in that regard, but he absolutely loves it, and obviously he just wants the best. But it's definitely stressful for him. But he was obviously very, very happy, and Mum, it was great to have him and Mum there supporting. And as I said, it had been a tough little stretch with them, with lost bags and injuries and missing weekends and stuff like that. So to be able to share that with them was just awesome.
I've had a text in, Ryan, to just say, can you ask Ryan if he got his clubs back, or were you using a new set?
So I got them back on Thursday night. I ended up using a new set anyway. Strickson bought out a new set of irons this week, so I had them in the bag, but had an old driver, an old 3-wood, an old 2-iron in the bag. But the bigger thing for me was having orthotics and shoes and everything like that, all the little stuff that you don't think matters too much, but actually ends up being pretty important. So I was very happy to get that back, and definitely made a difference over the weekend.
Right. Now, Ryan, the other thing that has happened, of course, you weren't so many points that your world ranking now is up to 25, which is absolutely astonishing when you think of the quality of golf around the world. Does that alter your thinking in terms of resetting your golf calendar?
Not so much for this year, but it certainly makes a difference for next year. It's more than likely the Masters is a lock. That's top 50 by the end of the year, so it'll be pretty hard for me to drop out of that by 31st of December. And it also brings in a lot of the big events in America early next year. The invitational events that take top 50 in the world. I've got a lot of opportunity still at the end of the year, and it would be pretty hard to drop out of the top 50 by that time next year. So it definitely changes the schedule a lot for early next year. But that'll be pretty exciting to get a chance to play in some of those big events.
Well, Augusta is the only major that you have not participated in as such, Ryan. So, I mean, that is such a special event as such, and you're going to be rubbing shoulders and playing alongside. You'll be paired with some great players there with some great history. Is that something that's always been a goal?
I mean, from well before I turned professional, the Masters was the event that I love watching, especially the Monday morning New Zealand time, watch that last round. So to get a chance to play there is, obviously it's not guaranteed as yet. I'm looking forward to an invite in the mail hopefully later on this year, but to get a chance to play there will just be amazing. And as I said, certainly one that's been on the goals list for a long time, probably not that realistic for a little while, but yeah, this year's made it a bit more real, and last week certainly helped that out a lot.
Right, in the immediate future, of course, you've got the end of year tour events to come up as part of the DP Tour. I imagine a little bit of fishing, if you can manage it as well. And how does the next month pan out for you?
Pretty busy, to be honest. I've got a week off this week, and then we've got 2 weeks back-to-back in Spain, one in Mallorca, one at Valderrama, then a couple of weeks off, then one in South Africa, one in Dubai, and then two in Aussie to finish the year for me. So I'll certainly be hoping to get a little bit of fishing in at some point, whether that's overseas or whether that's just, you know, trying to get a to do some fishing in the UK or whatever. I'd love to do that, but yeah, spend some time with the family as well and enjoy the last little bit of good weather here before it turns cold and wet.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate you being in hot demand. We're so grateful you gave us some of your time this morning, our time. We loved it, mate. It's just an amazing achievement. People are talking about it around New Zealand, and so they damn well should too. It's just fantastic to win such a prestigious event. Congratulations again. Say hello to the family for us, and enjoy it. Continue to enjoy it, mate. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Smithy, and just thanks to everyone at home. The support's been amazing.